SBS उर्दू मोबाइल ऑनलाइन या रेडियो पर।
बैन अल-अक़वामी क्रिकेट कोच मार्क कोल्स 2017 से 2019 तक पाकिस्तान की ख़वातीन क्रिकेट टीम के कोच रहे। मार्क के लिए ये दो साल नहायत ही अहमियत रखते हैं। आइए उनसे बात करते हैं। ये इंटरव्यू अंग्रेजी में है। हाय मार्क, हाउ आर यू?
Assalamu alaikum, very good, thank you.
Wa alaikum salam. A different culture, a different language, different religion, not many common things. Pakistan, New Zealand, Australia, but you decided to go to Pakistan. Why?
I saw a team in need, I guess, and I knew that Mickey Arthur was over there. I touched base with Mickey Arthur when I worked in Perth. And he was coaching the Western Australian team, so I knew of him, not that I knew him very well. But I reached out to him, and he made a couple of inquiries, and then from there the ball started to roll. And before I knew it, I was on a plane heading to Dubai and then on to Lahore.
Take us through your experience when you went there. I mean, there were different things, or you were expecting whatever you found, witnessed and viewed or experienced?
Well, the first thing was obviously, the very first thing was the heat and the security. The security of arriving and then having some 10 or 15 police around me and then whisking me off into a high ace van and screaming through the streets of Lahore at 2:30 in the morning around October time, which is reasonably hot in Lahore. Well, for a Kiwi guy, it was at that time of the year anyway. So that was an experience, and then obviously having to meet the players was a pretty big experience for me, considering where they'd been. Remember, at the ODI World Cup in England in 2017, they hadn't won a game. So who was this New Zealand bloke that was trying to help us? Why is he here? I paid for my own way to get there, and then the PCB put me up at the NCA and when we went into camp, obviously, as well. So why is he here trying to help us? What does he want? Who is he? And I remember addressing the team and just saying, look, I'm not really worried about what's happened in the past, but if we can just be the best that we can be and have fun along the way and learn to make mistakes, then we'll see what happens. And as long as we give our best, then that's all we can ask of each other. And we're in it together, you know. I mean, we're in this together, and we're going to try and see what we can do. And the first series happened to be against New Zealand in Dubai, which ironically, it had to be New Zealand, didn't it?
What was your experience coaching a team? Because compared to New Zealand and Australian women's cricket, which is at almost the same level as men's cricket. In Pakistan, women, they really have to dress like men just to play cricket, even in their houses. So was it a challenge training and teaching and coaching them?
Oh, look, I think they were very open to, and that was probably the danger. They were too open to anything that I said. So we needed to try and give them, not the answers, but try and get them to come up with the answers, I guess. There's no magic bullet, we used to say to them. You are the answer. And I think that was probably something that they may not have been used to in the past. Obviously, I was aware of their religion, but just a little funny story in there. I remember the first day on camp, I was very excited to get into it. And I heard that where we were was at the Lahore Country Club, about 50 minutes out of Lahore, a beautiful area. I remember the loudspeakers coming over and didn't take too much notice, but I happened to be chatting to the assistant coach at the time, Shahid Anwar, turned around and all the girls were sitting down, and I just said to them, girls, there's no time to be sitting down, you know. We've got to keep moving. And then Shahid Bey said to me, yeah, Mark, it's prayers. So I immediately knew then at around about 11:15 each day that it was prayer time. So I used to sit down with them, and I think it's just embracing that culture and understanding what's important to them. And then we certainly understood that prayers were very important, and we made that a a priority for us, that it wouldn't cricket wouldn't affect our prayers, because it's it's an important part of the religion.
Any sort of special training or processes or methods that you found that they weren't there, and you introduced them?
I think a lot of the basics were missing in terms of batting basics, the balance, a stable base to be able to hit over the top, but also confidence. I think because they had been beaten in every game, they just lacked that confidence. So a lot of the time we structured our practices around making mistakes, and that might seem very odd to some people, but I just think if you're not making mistakes, then you're not learning, and we all make mistakes in our life. Goodness, I've made a lot of them. But if we're not allowing players to make mistakes, they're never going to practice a shot. For instance, example, a lot of the female players now are playing reverse sweeps and hitting over the top. Well, if our girls couldn't play that, we allowed them to play it at practice, and we allowed them to make mistakes without not punishing them, without them feeling that they've made a mistake. It was encouraged. So the more that you do of that, the more that they feel comfortable playing those shots in a game, in a match situation. And one of the pleasing things was to see these players play reverse sweeps in games that mattered. And I guess that means that you've made a difference as a coach when they're confident enough to play it. So that was really pleasing. It didn't happen straight away, but it was happening near the end, and that was pleasing for me.
Which players you felt or you saw that tried their best or made a difference?
Well, I think they all did. I think every single one of them. But I think you've got some really good T20 cricketers in there. And obviously, Nita Dar went on to represent the Sydney Thunder. Alia Riaz is becoming a really good cricketer at T20 level. You had Sanamir in there. And Javeria Khan and Bismar obviously contributed as well to that. So you were starting to get quite a good core of five players, and Irim Javed had her, she is a dynamic cricketer in T20 cricket. Won us a game against South Africa in a T20, just destroyed them. So you're starting to get a core five or six players that were starting to perform, and then you added on top of that the experience of Sanamir and her performances, particularly in the one-day game, were outstanding. So I think you based your game around six or seven players, and then the others were more than capable of contributing and understanding what they had to do. But that was important to us, that we had a core group of players that we knew could win games for us.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've taken out some stats. As I understand, you helped Pakistan win 9 ODIs, a series victory against West Indies in 2019, and 12 T20 wins. Do you want to share what was it like? Because you worked with them, we worked with a team which wasn't like that great or amazing on international level, but then they made a difference.
Yeah, I've never really, it's not until you come away and you look at it and think, what did I do, or how did I go? And you ask yourself that as a coach, did I make a difference to them? I'd like to think that I made a difference to them off the field as well as young ladies, and to not take the game as seriously as possibly we do, and understand that the game is set up to fail. I used to say to them, who's your favourite player? And it might be Javed, me and Dad, or Babar Azam, or whoever it is. I said, well, if they average 60, they fail 40% of the time. So you've got to understand that you're going to fail and accept that. But look, I guess the first part of my journey was to win that first ever game against New Zealand in Dubai. Yes, we lost the series. We were unlucky to lose that. If we'd have had more confidence, we would have won the first game, but we only missed out by, I think, 6 runs in the end. And then we won the last one pretty convincingly. Sana was there at the end with Bismar. But that was the first ever win. And then we went to Sri Lanka, my apologies, and we beat them 3-0 and 2-1 in the 3-0 in the ODIs and 2-1 in the T20s. And then I understood that we were struggling with our T20 game. So that the Asia Cup, we had a poor Asia Cup where we finished third, and I just felt we were missing something. So the chairman at the time, Najim Sethi, wanted an Australian batting coach or a foreign batting coach, and we got an Andy Richards who made a massive difference. And at that stage, we had a strength and conditioning coach called Jamal Hussain, who played a lot of cricket and in county cricket in England, but also had the Pakistani background too, and he did a wonderful job with our fitness. So our fitness started to improve, our batting started to improve, and then, funnily enough, our T20 game started to improve a little bit as well. But look, I was only there just to oversee things. Those guys did an amazing job, and the players were just so fantastic. They're such wonderful young ladies and such amazing ambassadors to the country of Pakistan, and Independence Day today obviously is a big time for Pakistan too. So I'm very proud of what I did. It's, I guess you look back now and think we did make a difference. I only hope that I think the next coach needs to be possibly a foreign coach as well. That would be my thoughts anyway.
In 2019, October, just before the World Cup, you left the squad. Do you think that made a difference in the performance in the World Cup? Or it could have been different if you would have been a part of the squad?
I thought my time was up. I'd been through some pretty rough times myself personally. I'd lost also my grandmother when I was over there. And so saying goodbye to her when I left in July was pretty hard, because I knew that it was probably going to be the last time I saw her. And then 3 months after that, I got a phone call as well. So I had two phone calls when I was away to say two of my family had passed away. It was getting harder and harder for me to leave each time as I'd go back and then say goodbye to my daughters and then have another 3 or 4 month stint. So I thought the time was right. Things were changing a little bit. I must admit that there was starting to be tension between the chief selector and Sana, and it just felt that people were trying to move Sana out, and I didn't think she was ready to be moved out just yet. I mean, we always talked, and I always talked about Sana, and she was very open with me, that you just tell me when it's time to leave and I'm gone. And I just thought that the handling of that situation after I'd left, obviously, she didn't deserve that. And she, for mine, she was still performing at international level. If you think about when we played South Africa in May of last year, she got us up and we tied a series in South Africa 1-1, and make no mistake, it is hard, as we saw the Pakistan men play South Africa and be comprehensively beaten over there. It is very, very tough to even tie a series over there. So I wasn't liking really where it was going, but to be perfectly honest, the long-winded answer is it was time for me to go. I'd achieved everything I wanted to achieve, and I remember saying to Mr. Sethi at the time, I said, look, if after these 2 years, if we've got a player playing in one of the leagues, whether it's the England League or the WBBL, that's a tick in the box. If the girls are improving, that doesn't necessarily mean winning, but improving as cricketers and as a team, that's a tick in the box. And if they're enjoying their cricket, and we've made a difference, and they've all of a sudden improved, and people are taking more notice of the women's team, then my job is done. And I felt that my job had been done.
Now the PCB has a new setup. There is Wasim Khan, and there are different people who are running the affairs. October 2019, now it's August 2020. Would you be interested to go back and coach the way and, you know, restart where you left?
I don't think you ever go back. I think, you know, I'll always take an interest in the girls as much as I might like to. I I'm not sure whether going back is the right thing. I think they need to hear another voice and have another voice. And I was a little, I must admit, I was a little bit disappointed with the performance in the T20 World Cup. What I always said to them was, we're not going to use excuses. We're not using injury as an excuse, because every team has injuries, or every team has things that happen. England have lost Ben Stokes. He's going back to be with his family in New Zealand for a personal matter. But you don't hear England say, oh, well, Ben Stokes is out of the team, so we may not have a chance of winning this test, or it's going to be really hard. That's an excuse. And I heard a lot of that, oh, well, Bismarck injured her thumb. Okay, well, you've just got to learn to cope and have faith in the next player that's coming in to replace her. And so I didn't really enjoy what I heard. And I just felt that last game against Thailand, where they conceded 150 and were probably lucky that the rain came, I saw a lot of what I saw in July 2017, a lack of confidence, a lack of structure and clarity around individual roles and team roles. And I think, thankfully, inshallah, that it did rain, because that would have been, I think, a really backward step if we had, in fact, have lost that game. And remembering that was a record score on that ground, so it would have been very hard to chase 150 that was required in the last game to win.
Just talking in general, how was, because you stayed in Pakistan and you lived in Lahore for quite a while. What was your experience? Would you like to summarize, not just cricket, in general, because you've been meeting people from different things, and the lifestyle compared to New Zealand or even Australia, it's very different. So would you like to share your experience?
Look, I absolutely loved it. And I know that there was a lot of security around, and you've just got to accept that they couldn't take risks because they were busy trying to get cricket back. I think Wazim Khan and Ihsan Mani are doing a great job in terms of promoting women's cricket and keeping it going. I think that's one thing that was starting to happen under Sethi, but obviously things changed. But he's carried that on, which I think is really great. But in terms of Lahore, I enjoyed Lahore. I went to Karachi, Islamabad, and Multan, and all of those places had their uniqueness. But what a beautiful country, and on Independence Day as well, some of the most kindest, caring people outside of the team, that is, as well, that I've ever come across in my travels. And that, you know, that includes Vanuatu and other places that I've been to, Australia, New Zealand, but such wonderful, caring, kind people, and they made me feel at home. So whilst it was sad saying goodbye and jumping on a plane from New Zealand to travel 18,000 kilometres, the people of Pakistan are some of the, as I said, the kindest people. They're very generous, and I really enjoyed my time in Pakistan. And I'm not just saying that because it's Independence Day or whatever else.
Yeah, because today really, isn't Independence Day, by the way.
Yes, it is. It was just a lovely experience for me, and it's made me a better person. It's made me appreciate life a lot more, and those girls have really changed the way that I coach, changed the way that I live my life, and I'll be forever thankful for my time in Pakistan, albeit.
So has your perception changed? I mean, because when knowing about Pakistan, thinking about it, or just listening to different things, but when you went there, so was there a difference?
Well, I think my perception of Pakistan is not the reality, and that's unfortunate, because when I first went to Pakistan, it was basically as a volunteer, and my wife in particular said to me, are you crazy? Like, you know what happens? You know, and friends were saying, there's bomb blasts and all sorts of things going on there, but that's not the reality. The reality is, as I just said, it's just a it's an amazing place, and people made you feel at home, and it was a home away from home. As much as it's really hard when you live 18,000 k's away from your own family, you know, the players and the public made me feel really welcome. And I know that that's the case with Mickey as well, and Grant Flower. They had a wonderful time there too.
If we talk about just the future of the women's cricket in Pakistan, what do you think needs to be changed? What can PCB do, or what the girls can do?
Look, I think where I come from, the first thing I would say is I'm not sure whether you need three selectors and a coach to select a team. I just don't think you need three selectors. There's only 40 girls to choose from, so you might as well have the coach, the captain, and maybe a high performance staff member that knows a little bit about female cricket or is prepared to, or the head of women's cricket or what it might be. But I think they may go down that pathway. I'm not 100% sure, but I think what needs to happen is that players still have clear roles in terms of their playing side of things, so they understand what their role is and not worry about what other people's roles are. I think the money still needs to be invested in it. I think Wasim, as I said, is doing a great job in investing money in the women's game. It's not going away. It's going to be here for a long time, and it needs to be recognised. But it is an uphill battle, as you know. It's not really a game that girls probably should be seeing playing over there, but I just think that these girls are wonderful ambassadors, and it needs to be promoted like it is starting to be. And they need the credit that they are performing, or they have been performing, against some really good teams. I mean, when you think about South Africa, they made the final of the T20 World Cup. Well, these girls drew a series with them, 1-1 at home. They went down in the T20s 3-2. That was only May of last year. It's not that long ago that these players were playing against some of the best teams in the world and doing pretty well, thank you very much. And I think they need to be recognised for that. And you know, the media, we both come from journalistic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. They can be quite tough on them in Pakistan, sometimes unnecessarily so. But I think they also need to appreciate that these girls, no matter what happens, as I said right at the start, they do the best that they can do in the circumstances that they have around them. And I think that's all credit to them.
And lastly, in a recent article, you mentioned the mental stress and the different challenges in your life. And you went to Pakistan and that changed. Would you like to share about that, if you want?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not something that you're very proud of. And, you know, I mean, I went through some really tough times in my life, and I wasn't very proud of myself, and made some really bad mistakes, and was in a terrible, terrible space, I guess. And I'll be honest, I didn't really think life was worth too much at the time. But I managed to turn myself around, and I guess one of the things that I always wanted to do was, as a little fella watching my dad play, was be able to play for New Zealand. And I had back injuries, etc. But if I wasn't going to play for New Zealand, then I wanted to try and coach at the best level. And that's how I found a way of doing it. And I asked questions, and I think that's really important. And if you've got a dream, then follow it. And that's what I would say if anyone's feeling really bad. And, you know, in these times of COVID, we just don't know what's happening. When people are losing their jobs. We've got a million people that have lost their jobs in Australia at the moment. There's some stress out there. But for whatever your dream may be, or whatever you think that you want to do, chase it and try and ask questions and figure out ways of how you're going to do it. And sometimes it might cost you money. It cost me money at the start. Because I went over there as a volunteer, but it was the greatest thing that I've ever done. And you know, I've still got my green blazer that was presented to me, and I will always have that, and I'll probably be buried in that as well, because it was such a special part of my life and that gold star means the world to me, and so did the national anthem when it was played. I was really proud, and I can remember a couple of times just choking back some tears there, because that was my team, and we were a team, but I was proud of our team and Pakistan and everything that Pakistan stood for. So, I mean, in short, chase your dreams, and I know that people are having tough times out there, but just try and focus on something that makes you happy and do it. And if that means that you go for a walk and it makes you happy, then do that. But please don't suffer in silence and speak up. And if you know that your friend's not in great shape, or you think they're struggling or they've changed, just ask, are you okay? How are you feeling? And that might all be that it takes to turn someone around.
Thank you once again for talking to SBS Urdu.
Shukriya. Thank you very much as well for having me on.
SBS Urdu, mobile, online, ya radio par.